Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 5 o'clock hour. It's 5:04 in the evening here on Felger and Maz. Felger in the new A-hole chair in our brand new Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Got Marsha Hook and Matt McCarthy filling in the other two seats as Maz and Jim Murray fulfill their obligations at the company golf outing up in New Hampshire. This is our first day in our new studios at our new digs. If you're listening to us, that means nothing to you. You could give two poops about that. We sound exactly the same, and what do you care where we are? If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, which has followed us to our new digs, you're seeing this beautiful new studio, and it is really a tremendous facility, both on the TV side and the radio side here. BZ Media Group here really investing here in this facility here, Hook. I don't know how long you've been in radio, or McCarthy, how long you've been in radio, but I'm not a lifer, but I've been at it for over a decade. I've never been in a place like this.
22 years I've been in it. Nothing even remotely close to this.
Nothing close. So this is the nicest studio I've ever been in. It's spectacular.
Real coin, which means don't screw it up. You're going to cost the company millions of dollars, you understand? So now there's like more pressure on you to deliver, Hook, because if you start sucking and they've put all this money into the studio and then we start sucking, you see what happens there?
I see. So it's all on me.
Yep. You and McCarthy.
Okay. Uh-oh. Sorry, guys.
You know,
be out of a job soon.
I'm just getting us in and out.
I would say you would look at who showed up to work on time as a good indicator of exactly who's taking the job seriously and not.
Okay, poor start for me. I was a little late today. My bad. I'm sorry. But we're off and running. We're mostly Red Sox today. Hit a little bit on the All-Star game. Hit a little bit on that video review on the World Cup yesterday. The it factor, the whole feeling that this team is on to something and that this is a different sort of team. We hit on this earlier, and I'll just say it again. I believe in it. I believe it is a different team. I do believe they have the it factor. And we started to talk about this at the end of last week, and I think we all acknowledge it. Like, they've got a little something special going on, right?
Yeah.
And then I said to myself, well, when's the last time I felt this way about a team or that people around here? Because I never really bought in. But the way everyone around here started to feel about a team. And you know when the last time you felt that way? It was in the spring with the Bruins. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, everyone was saying that after all those great wins and that second half that they had, this team has something going on. They have that it factor. There's something special going on here. And you all felt that way about the Bruins. And then they got in the playoffs and their flaws were exposed against a better team. And what did all that regular season momentum mean once you got against a better opponent and your flaws were exposed?
Absolutely nothing.
It meant nothing, which is, I'm giving the Red Sox a much better chance than these guys are. But I do look at that it factor and go, what does that really mean? What does that really mean unless you can find someone to pitch in the seventh and eighth inning? And what does that mean if David Price is still the same old David Price in the postseason? What does it mean? It doesn't really mean anything. You still have to be the best team or at least close enough, right? Like, I think that intangible thing of it being your year or the momentum or the attitude, if one team's a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 and you're an 8.75, maybe that can, you know, account for that quarter point. But if the other team's just better or you're flawed, I mean, squat. That's what it meant for the Bruins. That momentum and that special factor they had meant nothing when they got against a team that was better than them.
And this team has faced virtually zero adversity. If any this year. They've basically won. They've had no prolonged losing streak. I don't even know what the most games in a row they've lost is. Three, maybe?
Three or four.
Something like that. So we haven't seen that yet. And I don't know if there's any team that goes through an entire season. So before we even get to the postseason, I want to see how well the it factor survives some adversity.
Oh, so you want them to lose some games?
Yes.
I love that. I love that take. So a good losing streak would be good for them.
Well, just something.
I know Maz would feel that way. Like, they need a good spanking.
They need something because right now, I mean, like the worst thing was, I think it was 3 weeks ago that they may have lost two in a row. They lost those couple ones to the Yankees. And then after that series, the Yankees won one and the Red Sox. And everyone's like, oh, this is it. This is where the Yankees take over. This is where the Red Sox falter. This is, you know, the guy who does the midday show was, this is where it's all going to fall apart. And it didn't. It didn't. The Yankees lost some and the Red Sox won some and then everything was back on easy street. I'm curious, and maybe they
so
will.
That doesn't count
maybe
as
they'll
a,
get to the
that,
end.
That
of the,
doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Three
as
games.
Adversity.
No, that doesn't count as adversity. Mark Bertrand declaring the Red Sox season in peril. That doesn't really count as adversity. No.
Okay, so you want them to really suck to see what they're made of.
I want something. It doesn't even necessarily need to be losing games. Let's see what happens if Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't come back. Let's see what happens if Rick Porcello continues to give up home runs at the rate he has over the last four starts. Let's see what happens if none of those guys in the fifth spot turn in anything and David Justice keeps playing Fortnite and gets the, you know, wrist injury again. Let's see what happens if Chris Sale is the only good starter for a stretch of even what, two starts for each of those guys?
But this is what I've tried to say. That's the way it's been this month. They have not pitched well out of the starting rotation this month. And have they lost more than one game this month? Again, I've lost track of what their current streak is. 13 of 15, 14 of 16. I don't know, something absurd.
They've lost two this month.
And their pitching has not been good. They have a starter's ERA of 4.5, and they've lost two flipping games. So the league is so down, and the American League is so down. Hook, I don't know if we're gonna, I don't know if we're gonna get the adversity that you so desire. Justin, in where the hell are you? Rhode Island. He's up next. Hi, Justin.
Hey guys. So my biggest factor is, I'm not too big into the it factor, but my factor that this year been different to the last two is we have a good chance of having home field advantage throughout the last two seasons. Last year, we're on the road to the World Series champion. You're down 0-2 in a blank. That stadium was crazy. It's tough to win there for anybody. I'm sorry. And the year before, Cleveland, obviously. This year, it's a really good shot of being at home, and you cannot tell me that's not a huge difference starting at Fenway as opposed to this team going on the road.
I think it's a difference. Yeah, Justin. It's not like basketball where, you know, the home team wins 80% of the time, but it's, I would help this team. I would help this team. Absolutely, I think that's a factor. That Houston was a tough place to play last year. That's a tough place. So, yeah, I'll give you that. I think that helps. Sure doesn't hurt. We've got Jason in Weymouth. Hi, Jason.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to bring up, you know, this Mookie contract situation. I'm curious to hear what would be, you know, hammering this guy down for long term. Is he a 5-year? Is he a 10-year, you know, person? And the reason I wanted to compare it to Dustin Pedroia is that they're a similar size in stature. I know they play different positions, but Petey's been out for such a long period of time with injuries over the past few seasons. I don't want to have Mookie Betts long term. Maybe 3 years. You know, I'd like to hear what you say about that.
Okay, so what is Mookie Betts worth? He's the highest paid player in the game. When he signs his contract, he should be the highest paid player in the game. Now, and that doesn't mean he's the best or that he shouldn't be, you know, surpassed with the next one. But if Machado and Harper go this offseason mm-hmm. and then Betts comes next, he should make a tiny bit more than those guys. He's that guy.
The predictions a couple years ago, money-wise, and I don't see any reason why they would have changed, they may be going up with $400 million. 40 times 10.
10 times 40. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the number?
I don't think Harper gets that at this point. But whatever they get...
Because his batting average is so low?
Yeah, he's had a bit of a disappointing season.
I don't know if it matters what his season is. If New York's after him and the Nationals have to match... That's what matters.
It's possible.
Harper's getting 40.
I don't know if it goes that far, but you're exactly right, Mike. Like when Betts hits the market, it should be. You're right, Mike.
See,
you're right.
Actually, that comes.
It's so easy.
It is.
When Machado hits the market and Harper hits the market, you give them the Machado or Harper contract, whoever gets more. That's exactly what you do.
That's what he is.
And then Mike Trout resets it 2 years from now when he hits the market. Don't let Mookie Betts hit the market at the same time as Mike Trout, which is exactly what's scheduled to happen.
Do you have legit concerns that Mookie Betts is out of here? Does he have 3 years left of team control?
2.5.
So this and yes. Two more. Yeah, so three. Are you concerned that he's a goner?
I don't know why you wouldn't be. With what's happened with the Red Sox over the last 2 years and their contract negotiations with him, they tried to sign him 5 years, $100+ million, not exactly a great offer for a player of Mookie Betts' caliber. They weren't willing to give him an extra $3 million this year. $3 million. They've lowballed this guy at every turn. Why wouldn't you be worried about Betts saying, screw you guys, I'm going to go make my money and I'm going to make it elsewhere.
Back up. And where did you hear that it was over $3 million?
Well, arbitration. Betts wanted 10.5. The Red Sox offered 7.5.
Right, just give him the ten and a half million.
Okay.
Something tells me though that he wasn't signing that $10.5 million. And even though like he's sort of at like,
well, that's the number he put forward. So then you say, okay, we'll meet that number. So yeah, he would have signed that. He said, I want $10.5 million
my first year of arbitration.
You're right.
Why wouldn't they have just done that?
Because they're idiots. They don't want to pay him.
That's a simple answer.
It's very simple.
And not for nothing, but what does the Red Sox team look like in 2.5 years? I mean, Chris Sale, your closer, you know, Xander Bogaerts.
Yep.
What does this team look like in 2.5 years?
Who's that Beeks character they had? That's your ace.
So this is, this is a conversation for a different, you know, their window and all of that. Like, let's see if they can win a playoff series first before we start talking about their flipping window. Like, I hear people do this. Like, Betts is a legit concern because he's evolved. He's gotten into that Harper, Machado, you know, territory. Like, he's in that conversation. Trout, he's that. Mm-hmm. He's sort of proving to be that caliber. He's been an MVP candidate 2 of the last 3 years, right?
Top five player in baseball when Mike Trout won it two years ago.
So a top five player in the game is going to make 10 times 40 around-ish. And so that, you know, that'll put on the table. The whole window thing, Hook, let's see how much you want them to extend the window. Like, you don't even like the team to begin with. So what do you care about what their window is?
I like Chris Sale. He's a big part of extending that window.
All right, we continue with your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They're all loaded. High fly ball, deep into left center field.
Get out of
way
here.
Back it carries. Terrific win for the Red Sox, coming from behind Xander Bogaerts with number 15.
How many slams is that for him? 3?
And for the Red Sox, 9.
9.
So again, it's not just another win. It's not just another walk-off. It's a grand slam on Saturday. Xander Bogaerts. It's their year. They're onto something special. They have that it factor. Agreed. Yes, they do. Maybe I'm scarred by the Bruins thing. What does it mean? Because the Bruins had a lot of wins like that. A lot of them. And ultimately, their flaws were exposed, and they went up against a better team. And the it factor means, again, put the SH in front of it, and that's what it means. And that's just sort of caught, you know, that was occurred to me over the weekend as we all agreed, with even Jim Murray, the asterisk man himself, agrees that they've got, you know, that it factor. But what does that mean if they don't have someone to pitch a 7th and 8th inning?
Yeah, nothing will kill the it factor quicker than David Price in a postseason start.
But it's been, what a great first half and what a great season so far. Tremendous. And if you're a baseball fan and a Red Sox fan, it's great. It's great. I just want to know what it means for when it matters. And you tell me how they're different. And I know how they're different. They're different in the manager's office, and they're different in the middle of the lineup with J.D. Martinez. Hook keeps going back to the pitching staff. Are they any different on the pitching staff? And his contention is no different at all. So argue with him. You tell him how it's different. Tim in Providence, you're up next with Felger and Maz with Hook. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? With the Red Sox, you know, the talent and the offensive output they have, it's hiding the Little League manager's weaknesses. You know, he wants everybody to bat. He never has anybody bunt. We should have had Eduardo Nunez bunting Saturday after Bradley got the double, move him over to third base. Plus, in Major League Baseball, J.D. Martinez should not be in the outfield. I don't care if you want to baby him, hold his hand or not. He's already missed or misplayed half a dozen balls the other guys would have had. And the worst one of all, the reason why Rodriguez got hurt was because the knucklehead Swihart was playing first base. He doesn't even belong on the field.
Okay, so let's really entertain that. See, to me, J.D. Martinez being in the outfield is an organizational decision. They promised him that. And so now they have to deliver on it. I really feel that way, McCarthy. I think that's one of the reasons one of the things that got him to sign here is that you'll play the outfield because he wants to so badly. So they're just delivering on that promise. And that's even like a little bit above Cora's head even. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something that was predetermined. And if you want to take Jackie Bradley out of the lineup, that's fine with me. So yes. I don't care about that. Should Cora deserve criticism for getting Eddie Rodriguez hurt? Did Cora get Eddie Rodriguez
no,
hurt?
No. I mean, that's just, no. I mean, there are plays that happen. That is a play that happened, okay? There are plenty of good gold glove, even caliber first basemen and catchers and et cetera that make errant throws. To just pinpoint the single errant throw, this isn't like the previous guy making his pitcher run the bases, okay, as a pinch runner. That is actively making a choice to put a pitcher, who, by the way, was pitching fantastically at that moment, into a situation where he could get injured that was wholly unnecessary. This was a pitcher fielding his position. This is part of the game. Injuries happen. So, no, I'm not going to blame the manager for that.
Wasn't Moreland sick, too? Like, that's why Swihart was in the game. Like, you can't blame the manager for that. You criticize him for in-game managerial decisions, whatever. That, his first baseman was sick. He put a backup guy in there.
So, in-game, I feel like early on there were a couple things. Like, opening day was sort of a... and I can't remember exactly what he did in the bullpen that was sort of questionable.
He hung Kelly out to dry.
Is that what it was?
But I
have a hard time really figuring what he is as an in-game guy, because the Red Sox are just bashing the crap out of horrible teams. It's like, I don't even feel like he's even been a factor in these things. Has he, McCarthy? I mean,
no.
You tell me.
No, he hasn't. And you won't find out until October as to what he can do as an in-game manager. He's managing in the American League too, Mike, in a team that is just running away and, you know, is smashing, you know, three home runs a game. Like, what is he going to do from now until October to prove to me that he's a good or a bad in-game manager? This is an incomplete on my grade.
They've scored 30 more teams or 30 more runs than the next highest scoring team.
It's like, how do you even know?
And the caller's upset that we're not bunting more. So, okay.
Exactly. So, but him not bunting is not on my list. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Love the bunt.
Mike and Webster. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just wanted to give you mad props, Felger. I love your idea on abolishing the All-Star game.
Just kill it.
When I heard you guys say that Sale was starting, I almost fell out of my chair. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't even like our starters, like Mookie Betts, playing in it. It's a totally pointless game. And I just wanted to say I love the idea, and I wish that we didn't have to go through that.
Abolish it. It's antiquated. It was started because fans never got to see every player in the league. They never saw NL players if you were in the AL or vice versa. Your games weren't on TV every night. You didn't see highlights. So you had to have a showcase just to see the stars. And it meant something to the players on the field for some reason. I don't know why, but it did, because those guys played the game hard. And now it's been this way forever. So, like, this is a late, this is a, opinion is, I mean, nothing, because we felt this way for a generation. But when you don't want your best player on your favorite team to play in this game, why are we playing this game? Again, no one wants Chris Sale pitching in this game. No one. No Red Sox fan, I should say. No Red Sox fan wants Chris Sale anywhere near the mound, and he's starting.
Let me ask you this. So, when Chris Sale was a member of the Chicago White Sox, do you think the White Sox fans wanted him starting?
Nope.
No, I think they did. They're
nope.
Like, that's our guy. We suck, but other than that, we have Chris Sale.
If you're a real White Sox fan, you don't want him anywhere near this game. What good is the game when you don't want your best player on your favorite team playing?
Starting pitcher.
Okay. And I'd say the same thing about the home run derby. I'll just, you know, Jesus Aguilar, Aguilar for the Brewers, to someone you've never heard of and you shouldn't have.
Saw him playing Double-A, Mike.
Okay. So the guy comes from out of nowhere. He's at like 20 home runs or something in the first half, and he's in the home run derby for the Brewers. I'm like, well, that's it for Jesus Aguilar. You'll never see this guy again. You know, he's going to go to the home run derby. He's going to yank a bunch out. He's going to do bad habits, get a big head, or just whatever. He's going to go to the home run derby, and it's going to take a steaming dump in his head. And that's the last you're going to say of Jesus Aguilar. Not that you care. I don't expect you to care. I'm not telling you to care. I'm just telling you, as, you know, an important player on my favorite team, I don't even want him in the thing. So why are we doing this? Why are we playing the game? Why are we doing the home run derby? If JD Martinez was in the home run derby, you folks would hate it. You'd hate it. You wouldn't want him in it. And I know that there's been different statistical comparisons that tell you that it really makes no real difference. That there have been guys who've gone to the home run derby and had good second halves. And there's guys who've gone to the home run derby and have had bad second halves, and there's no common denominator. That it's really no factor. I take those numbers and I throw them out the window, because it's just what's in my gut. I don't want my guy anywhere near that thing. And you know if J.D. Martinez was in it, you'd want him nowhere near that thing either, right?
I would want him in it. And I'd want
Why would you want him in it?
Because I'd want everybody else in it, too.
Look at the home run.
Because it's a show. I would want him there, and I want Judge there, and I want Harper there, and Stanton. I want everybody there. The problem is none of them are there, except for Bryce Harper this year. That's the issue. If Martinez were there with the seven other best home run hitters in baseball, I would love it. I'd be all about it.
You would?
Yes, I would.
And you'd want him to win?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, who cares?
I do. Maybe I'm still just a child at heart, Mike.
Oh, my God.
I do.
Who cares? HK Hook. You know what I'm saying? What do we got next here? Here's Eric in Boston with Felger and Hook with Matt McCarthy. Yes, Eric.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Eric.
Perfect. I was just wondering what you guys thought if David Price got moved to the bullpen in the playoffs. I wasn't sure if you thought that would shake things up and or make us better have a better bullpen than the Yankees.
So Hook wants it.
I'm in favor of it, yes. Any success he has had in the postseason has come out of the bullpen, including last year in 2017, as I was corrected earlier since I said look at his numbers last year. 2016, as a starter, he blew chunks, and that would be kind. So, yeah, absolutely. What is one of your problems? Your bullpen. Do you think that guy could help? Absolutely. Do you think
how
he's going to
do feel about it?
Any help whatsoever in the starting rotation? No.
What if he doesn't want to do it?
Well, he's your
what
employee.
If he doesn't want to do it?
He's your employee.
Oh, so you make it, that's going to work.
Well, then don't pinch him at all. How's that?
So shut him down.
Yes.
Okay.
And hope he opts out.
Do you think that's anywhere
no,
near realistic?
No, of course not, because the Red Sox are sackless when it comes to this sort of thing.
What team would do that, Hook? What team would do that?
A team that is driven by championships.
What team would do that?
A championship-driven team.
So hold on. Wait a minute. No. Hook is advocating. You force him to the bullpen, and if he doesn't want to do it, you shut him down.
Yes.
What team would
do
that?
And hope he opts out.
Oh, stop it. No team would do that, and you know it. You're not being realistic.
I know.
It is what it is. That's how you're built. That's how he's paid. That's what he is. You just gotta,
and you want to start him right there, second game.
Figure it out, David.
He's your number two starter.
It's time for you to stop sucking.
Well, that's great. At best, you're 1-1 headed onto the road.
Now, if he gets hurt and he has to, you got to stretch him out. Like the thing that happened last year was a blessing in disguise. You know, you were sort of forced into that through his injury. If that happens again, now we can talk and maybe
I'm going to trip the guy.
You know, maybe he can. That's not, we don't advocate that, Hook. And then maybe we're on to something there. I hear you, but you are what you are. He is what he is.
Send him extra invites.
He's Fortnite. Your number two guy. Matt McCarthy with an update, then back with you.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Back to the phones, as promised, is this Pat in Brockton. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I just wanted to talk. I agree with you guys about the MLB All-Star Game. It has a lot to be desired for. And honestly, I don't know why they don't look at the NHL and how they handle their All-Star Game and the skills competition. Because, you know, they have the shooting accuracy, they have the breakaway competitions. Those are fun to watch as a fan.
Are they?
And you can see, oh, absolutely.
Ugh. I think the whole thing's useless, Pat. I think the whole thing is a waste of our time and the players' time, and no one cares. And I mean, to the point where I wonder why they do it. Why do we do it? I mean, what's the
point? I don't know. I just think that seeing all the players have fun out there, you know, it's a good time for the fans.
Okay, I mean, if you like it, I guess maybe me. And maybe I'm, you know, I usually am the problem. I'm the problem. But I just don't see what you get out of it. I don't know. Do these games attract young fans? Maybe we can look at those numbers. Like, are there TV ratings out there that
show
you?
Well, of course, there's where one of your fundamental stupid decisions at baseball. When's first pitch of the All-Star Game? 9 o'clock at night?
Way too late.
Is it 9?
It's going to be something. It's probably 8:15.
8:30 or something
like
that.
They'll call it whatever. It won't really start until 15 minutes after that. Again, listen, my son, who's 11 now, but last year 10, was really, really into the baseball postseason. And then I said, well, the game doesn't start until 9 o'clock. And so he would watch half an inning. I'm like, no, you got to go to bed. Like, that is what they do. And I get it. You know, you got West Coast, you've got primetime ratings and all of that. But this is why you think you're somehow going to fix baseball through the All-Star Game. The problems are so much bigger and so much deeper than whatever this game is. That's not even, it's not even the tip of the iceberg of the problems this sport has.
Again, there's so many problems with it for me, and I just so don't care. It's just crystallizing When you don't even want your own players in it, what are we doing? Why are we doing it?
Well, to be fair, you don't want your best players
in it. I don't. I don't want them anywhere near it. Here's Greg in Boston. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, how are you? So right before the break, you and Hook were talking about, you know, David Price and possibly shutting them down in the playoffs. And Felger, I think you said, what team in their right mind would do that? Well, the answer is the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Jimmy Stewart said the same thing in the break. Exact same thing. And how'd that work out for him?
Yeah. Nice job.
So except you'd have to admit that in the David Price situation, it's not comparable because David Price has only ever hurt you in the postseason as a star.
Okay, but it just feels like you're doing that out of spite then. Are you telling me you're a better team without him even on it?
I think you're a better team without him starting, yes.
No. You're at your best when he's out there pitching to his best. So
yeah, but that doesn't happen in October.
Try and get him there.
In October.
See if you can get him
there. How many tries do we need, exactly?
Here, the thing is,
he's sucked in Toronto, he's sucked in Tampa, he's sucked in Detroit, and he's sucked in Boston.
I don't think you're winning without him.
Then you're not winning with him.
You have a better...
And by the way, you've now come to the conclusion that we all are already at, which is they're not winning. Because this is their problem.
So I'm not willing to write them off because I also believe, Hook, that most players eventually push through.
Okay.
If they're good and they're talented and they, you know, kick the can long enough, hard enough, eventually they get it. And that's I'm borne out. Most players eventually break through. They have their day. And to me, you're not winning without a two starter. Rick Porcello and his 4-1-3 is not your two starter. Your number two starter, Eddie Rodriguez, just got hurt. And his track record of returning from injuries is horrible. So it's David Price. You need David Price to win a championship.
Where's
starting.
Drew Pomeranz?
So there
My
you go.
My lonely eyes are going to turn to him.
Don't count on him.
Christian in Foxborough is up next. How you doing, Christian?
Good, guys. Thanks. I just got a little bit more confidence this year in this Red Sox team. Obviously, Cora, the vibes, the culture is different. But I just heard Dave O'Brien last week. I think it was a game against the Nationals. He said the Red Sox are 40-4 when they score four first. So I'm asking you, Huck, specifically, doesn't that give you guys a little bit more confidence in this Red Sox team? Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
In the postseason because their offense is better? Here's the thing. I mean, that's a regular season statistic, right? That they're whatever when they score first, that winning percentage. The postseason is a completely different animal. That's the thing. You can do that when you're playing Tampa and Baltimore and Kansas City and Anaheim and all of these regular season teams to which your point, they suck more this year than they ever have before. That's where those statistics come from. That doesn't work in short series. That doesn't work in the postseason where, by definition, you're playing the best teams. You're playing the Astros, the Yankees, the Indians, the Mariners maybe. These are all the better teams. So you scoring first guarantees nothing. And to my bigger point, when David Price gets out there on the mound, you know the other team's going to at the very least equalize it. So it'll mean nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Joe in Brockton, what do you got for us?
Yeah, hi. I just had a comment. Somebody said, I don't know, said that in the playoffs, you have New York, Houston, Cleveland, and, you know, Boston fourth. And I don't agree with that necessarily because, you know, everyone's panicking because of the Rodriguez injury. But, I mean, how can you say that Boston fourth? I mean, last year Boston was dead last in home runs. They were somewhere in the middle of a pack in runs scored. This year they're second in home runs. They're first in runs scored. And you have four other teams that are actually two games better than Cleveland or two games behind Cleveland. You got Tampa Bay, Oakland, Seattle, and Anaheim. And three of those teams aren't even going to make the postseason.
Okay,
one of those teams, you know,
so first of all,
going to win the wild card.
Yeah, Joe, the Cleveland thing is Jimmy Stewart, and he's got a thing for Terry Francona, like a thing. So you can't take
Love
Stewart. You can't take Stewart seriously when it comes to the Cleveland Indians. He's too biased there when it comes to that. The offense, Hook. You said that the pitching's the same as it's been in the past, and so that's their fatal flaw. The fact that the offense is better doesn't make up for some of it.
It may make up for some of it, but again, as I said earlier, you can win games 10-9 all year long in the regular season. You can win maybe one of those in the postseason, but inevitably the pitching is so much better that you're not going to be able the pitching is more likely to tamp down your offense than anything. So the fact that it's better, sure. Maybe now that 8 runs becomes 2 or 3, where last year it was 1 or none. But if David Price is still going to go out there and give up 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings off 6 hits, only 1 home run, then it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter because the pitching on the other side is going to be better than yours.
Is there anything David Price can do between now and October to win you over is wrong, but you know, be more confident in his chances?
No. And this is not talk show hyperbole. He has had excellent regular seasons. To your point, he's won Cy Youngs, and he has absolutely been horrible, consistently horrible over many starts in the postseason. So, no.
What's the line we've been using? Sox are
already, they're 0-1 headed into the postseason.
They're already 0-1 in the ALDS. They're already down 0-1 because of David Price. You agree with that, folks? Here's Brady in Maine. Go ahead, Brady.
Hey, first off, before I get the hook, Mike, I got to tell you, getting to your call screener was rougher than Maz's colonoscopy the other day. But Hook, I had a question for you, and I'll follow up depending on your answer. What is the Red Sox facing adversity achieve for them? Like what does that do for them and improving their postseason chances?
Well, no, my only point is we don't know what they look like facing adversity. We're talking about they're having this it factor, and I think, you know, it's pretty well known that it's easy to have that sort of thing. It's easy to have fun and win and all of that when that's all you've done. I want to see how a player like JD Martinez, how some of these players react when they go through a stretch where they're not winning. That's all.
But like, what does that do for them though? Like, what does that build?
It shows me what they can or can't be in the postseason, where they'll certainly face adversity.
Well, no, but Peter, you're right. This is all about Hook being showing Hook something. Like the Sox have to go on a big tailspin to show Hook something.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was like galvanizing the team or something, because like Hook's on record as like a big anti-clutch guy, and you know, facing adversity would help like build character and show that when their backs are against the wall,
good job,
they can
Brody.
Actually like do something. But I mean, what you're describing sort of sounds like clutch, and so I just want to make sure.
Oh, good job, Brody! Excellent call. Thank you for it. Yeah, so true.
Well done.
You want them to build some resilience, which feels like an intangible, Hook, which generally you don't believe in.
Well, to be fair, no, I didn't say any of those things. I am merely saying I want to see how they react to adversity. That's what I want to see.
So
I'm not saying that they need it to build some intangible in themselves. I'm just saying we haven't seen it. This team that we are all so in love with that has the it factor that you're talking about has faced no adversity this year. Do we think that whatever it is that they have,
see,
whatever Alex Cora has brought to the team, because that's where managers make their bones, right? It's easy being the manager of a team that has won consistently. Like, there's no problem there. There are no personalities in the clubhouse that you have to deal with when everyone's winning. Other than David Price, this is a roster from top to bottom of a bunch of happy people who are content with what they're doing, are confident, everything's going great. So what do we know about Alex Cora? What if this team goes on a 5-game losing
streak?
Sounds
like you believe
it's
it?
It's not because that 5-game losing streak is going to teach them anything. No, it's going to teach us something. What are they?
I think you don't want to admit that you believe in an intangible.
All right.
You don't want to admit it.
You should listen to
Brody in Maine, Gold Star winner of the day. Gold Star, Brody.
You should listen
excellent.
To Matt McCarthy's baseball podcast, Hardball Talk, where we discussed my feelings on clutch in depth.
Close enough.
Something like that.
Clutch in depth?
We discussed my feelings on clutch space in depth.
I see. And you still don't believe?
No.
It's a story for that's, you know what, that is best suited for a podcast. I don't have time for you today on that. Peter in Taunton, go ahead, Peter.
Hi, I'd like to save baseball by cutting the season in half, 81 games, and then start the playoffs. The first two rounds, five game series.
Mm-hmm. More games that mean something.
The whole second half will mean something. Every game will mean something.
Okay, I'm all for that. I mean, that's never going to happen. They're never going to go to 81.
I think we should just skip the regular season and start with the postseason.
I think not a horrible idea.
All
Hook.
30 teams make it into the postseason. We put it into a bracket. It'd be great, and we'll be done by May 1st.
No, but something that, you know, we all grew up with that doesn't exist anymore is the pennant race. You know, it just doesn't. Right now, the Red Sox are just sort of playing out the string. Unless you're a mediocre team going for that second wild card, then you're not even very good. We've totally lost the pennant.
Yeah, but
race.
Everyone tells me that more playoff teams is the way to go. They want to add even more playoff teams.
I hate it.
Like everyone in the NHL and NBA makes the playoffs, it seems. So what's the point of the regular season? You want to turn baseball into that?
Well, let me tell you a good middle ground. If you want to add playoff teams but add more single game elimination, mm-hmm. I'm all for it. Because I think the one game wild card plan that baseball's gone to is the single greatest thing a professional league has done in North America in decades. In decades. Talk about, as much as I dislike these All-Star games and as useless as those are, those one-game plans, I'm in, baby.
They're awesome.
Oh, they're fantastic. And just in terms of viewership, in terms of just what matters, the consumer. So if baseball wants to add two more playoff teams, but give me another one-game plan, I'm in. No problem.
I could do that.
Basketball or hockey wants to add a couple more playoff teams, but instead of, you know, and give a couple teams buys and then give me a couple of one-game plans. Ooh, because that's the good stuff, right?
The game where everyone's available except one of those teams then has to play the next day.
But
then, like, you burned everybody, but now we have to go play.
Exactly. I don't care if it's fair to the teams.
No, no.
Yankees won that game last year.
It's about us.
I'm 100% in on that. 100% in on that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I can't tell when you're being sarcastic or not.
No, no, I am.
Sarcasm doesn't work on me, Herc. No. I'm not smart enough.
What I just said about the team that burns everything then has to play the next. No, I literally, truly think that's fantastic.
Me too.
I think that's great because now you're walking in against a team that's rested and you just used everybody yesterday and now you got to play again.
Is he being sarcastic or not? I still can't tell.
I think he's legit.
I feel sarcasm.
No sarcasm with me, Hook. I can't figure it out.
This is not sarcasm. This is watching the world burn. I'm into that.
Final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Real quick, we are broadcasting again from our new Town Fair Tire studios at the our Dorchester home now here for Beasley Media Group and 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I just want to thank everyone who put any time into this. And there's just a ton of guys who did it. So, and as usual, I don't know anyone's name, and I'm going to screw up their names. Dennis, who just walked by, I know is instrumental. But if I start naming people, I'm going to forget half your names. I don't. So I just want to thank everybody who had anything to do with this studio, because it is phenomenal. How about the bosses? Like, is that smart? Mary Mena, the market manager at Beasley Media Group, at Prince L. Hare, over at NBC Sports Boston. Start with those guys. And just, you know, and everyone in between. It's a phenomenal facility. And Dennis Knutson?
Yes.
No, there you go. So he was one of our engineers here, was instrumental in this whole place. It is a amazing, amazing facility, both on the radio and the TV side. And we are thrilled to be here. It is a terrific looking studio. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, it looks phenomenal and it sounds good. And for day one, there were some snafus, but really, I mean, for day one, like usually it's a total fire drill. It wasn't.
And I got to tell you this, you know, in the old studio, that fake brick,
this is real back here.
Whatever we got back here is actual real. It is true.
Solid stuff.
So anyway, if you want to see what it looks like, just check us out on NBC Sports Boston, where we simulcast every single day throughout New England and the country as usual. But thanks again to anyone and everyone who was involved in this new studio. It is a absolute home run.
All right. So we have two best ofs today for the final word. On this date in history last year, we heard from our friend Carlton in Norwell.
Oh.
Would he like to have another crack at be 19-0?
Look, if you want me to do this, Murray, Kansas City, week one, win. At New Orleans, win.
Tough spot, but win.
Versus Houston, win.
Okay, we're not doing this.
At Pittsburgh, that stretch of Miami in 3 weeks. They're losing a game there.
We're not doing this.
I'm in. I'm all in. I want it. I want 19-0.
Carlton, what do you got him at?
At Tampa Bay, loss. Hey, you know, when the Nantucket elite can't pronounce thesaurus, you know that island has gone to hell in a handbasket. I'm going to stop going to the Little Gray Lady of the Sea and go back to Block Island where all the New Yorkers hang out. But Bill Belichick, what he needs to copyright is who took the pen and who taped the Kardashians over the Jets' defensive signals, okay? This nonsense of 19-0. All right, first off, Coney Ealy's best game ever was that Super Bowl against Denver. So all the Patriots fans think he's that good. He actually sucks, which is why Carolina got rid of him. David Harris is a Jet. Enough said there. Malcolm Butler's going to be pissed that his opposite corner, hasn't worn a Patriots helmet for a day. Brandon Cooks is going to be upset that he's not getting enough targets. The Yankees are going to issue Tom Brady an antique badge to go on his jersey this year.
So what's the record? Carlton, what's the record?
What's that?
What's the record this year?
They'll be lucky if they go 10-6.
Lucky. When's the last time they were 10-6, Carlton? They've been 10-6.
Well, you know, he wasn't necessarily wrong about a lot of the things.
He was right on a lot of those things, but
record was a little off.
Yes, you just can't account for how badly everyone else sucks. That's right. It's like you handicap the Patriots against themselves, but you always forget that everybody else blows.
It's like the American League this year.
Exactly.
And we had plenty of All-Star discussion today. You know, it's All-Star week. Get excited, everybody. Maz and Hook, though, they have talked about this in the past.
When I was asked to go to the All-Star game, the first couple of years, I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, boom, Philly 1 year, I got rip-roaring drunk the night before. It was fabulous. I almost didn't make the game. I was so hungover the next day. But as I get older, this thing sucks. Nobody says anything. The game means nothing. It's a complete waste of time. I'd rather take the 4 days off, go home, recharge, and then get ready for the second half again. And it felt that way to me last night.
I went to four straight, 99 into 2000, or late 90s into 2000. I haven't been to one since. But, you know, I'm thinking like Randy Johnson and John Kruk, right? That was fun. They were having fun. If that same thing where John Kruk turned around and put the helmet on backwards, if he did that in the actual All-Star game, now you can't do that because it counts, right? Pedro Martinez in Fenway, striking out those guys who were smiling. I mean, they were smiling that they were getting struck out. They were having fun. You can't have fun in this thing now because now it counts. And so if the players can't have fun, which is what it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a break. It's supposed to be a break from playing
an
games that count
of baseball
and having fun and showing us a good time. They've ruined that because what? They got tied one time in Milwaukee and what's his name was embarrassed. So they've ruined the All-Star game. I have no interest in the thing anymore. Zero.
If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what does.
Yeah. Felger and Maz.